Hello, and thank you for joining us for Options Talk with OIC. I'm your host, Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing at the Options Industry Council. OIC is a nonprofit initiative that was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars and webcasts. So here are a couple ways you can stay in touch. Become a fan of OIC on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at options_EDU. And join our group, OIC, on LinkedIn. Today we are going to be speaking with industry experts about some of the latest topics impacting the options industry. During one of our previous podcasts on early exercise, we touched on the subject of European and American-style options. On today's show, we're going to get into that topic a little further. But before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's get this conversation started about American and European style options. Here with me today is Jim Bittman, Senior Instructor with the Options Institute at the Chicago Board Options Exchange. Jim, glad to see you here today.
Thanks for inviting me, Joe.
Now, Jim, what's your background in the options industry?
Well, I started in 1980, if you can believe it, as a market maker at the CBOE.
I believe it. I'm right there with you.
And in the late 80s, I began conducting seminars on a part-time basis to people who visited the exchange. And that small enterprise grew into the Options Institute, which is now a full-fledged educational division of the CBOE.
Indeed it is, and you and your team over there just do a great job for investors. Well, also joining us today is Darren Tate, a senior specialist of investor services at the Options Clearing Corporation. Hello, Darren. Would you tell us what you do over there?
Yeah. Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me here today. My primary role at the Options Help Desk over at the OCC is to support the 888 Options Help Desk phone number, where we talk to anybody who has options-related questions. Also do a lot of work with our great website, optionseducation.org, write, review, and update content regularly for the website.
Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for mentioning those industry resources. They really are top-notch. Why don't we get started with today's conversation? Darren, would you start by letting our investors know what American-style options are?
Sure. An American exercise-style option is an option contract that may be exercised by the option holder. The option holder is the person who buys to open the option to create a long position. An American exercise-style option may be exercised by the holder anytime between the day that they purchase it and the expiration date. Most exchange-traded options in the United States are American exercise-style options. Conversely, the holder who has the rights to exercise the option, an option writer, may be assigned early on the option if they are short the contract.
Now, you mentioned the American style can be exercised at any time, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Jim, you want to take the European style?
Sure. An option subject to European style exercise is a contract that can only be exercised at a specific time, which is typically on the day prior to expiration. European exercise is common for many cash-settled or cash-based indexed options.
Key distinction between the two. Jim, would you mind just saying that one more time for listeners?
Well, European options can only be exercised on the last day prior to expiration, and they are commonly used for cash-settled index options.
Well, which one of these, Jim, you know, American style or European style, which one's better?
Well, Joe, it's not a matter of which is better. It's just that there is a difference. One can be exercised early and one cannot be due to the nature of the contract. The core difference is how you use it and when you want one or when you want to use the other. People who sell options sometimes fear being assigned early, and so they would prefer the European style exercise. Similarly, some buyers think that they might want to exercise early, and so they obviously would choose the American style option.
Okay, again, some really important distinctions. Now, Darren, would you give me an idea of some of the reasons why options get assigned early?
Sure. There's a lot of things that contribute to an options, you're really looking at it from the options holder's perspective, why might they exercise an option early and why they might elect to not exercise the option early, which subsequently is going to impact the option writer and whether or not they may get assigned. One of the things to look at, probably the most important thing to look at, is the time value of the option. Typically, if an option has a lot of time value left in the contract, there's not going to be a reason to exercise the option early, and subsequently, it's less likely that an option writer would get assigned early on an option that has a lot of time value. For example, if a stock is trading at $50 and you have written the $45 call that is trading for $7, that has $2 of time premium, the $5 of intrinsic value, the difference between the 45 and the 50, and then the extra $2 is the time value. And if I'm going to hold that option, I'm not going to exercise it early because if I want to buy the stock, I might as well sell the call option and go out in the market to buy the stock. My out-of-pocket cost would be less if I did that than if I just elected to exercise the option, and the difference there is time value. So subsequently, it's less likely to get assigned if the option is trading with much time value.
That makes sense. Well, another factor, I think, are dividends. Jim, you want to discuss the dividend aspect a little bit here?
Sure. The decision about whether or not to exercise an option early is frequently based on the difference between the time value in the option versus the dividend that the stock will pay. Now, let me go into a somewhat detailed example, but let's assume that the stock price is $50 and it is about to pay a dividend of $1.10.
Okay. It's a $50 stock with a $1.10 dividend.
Right. The second part is looking at a call option. Let's look at a 45-strike call option trading at $5.50.
Okay, so you said the 45 strike at 550. So we've got with a $50
stock.
A $50 stock, we've got a 50 cents of time premium.
That's right. So if you could buy this call with 50 cents of time premium, keep in mind that the dividend is $1.10. So the buyer of this call would like to buy the call and exercise it and thereby buy the stock and get the $1.10 dividend. Now, they are paying a 50 cent premium over the stock price for the call, but they're getting a $1.10 dividend. Okay? So there would be a 60 cent benefit, not including commission costs, to this kind of transaction.
Great example. And man, that's important. That's really, really important for investors to understand.
Well, in my example, there was a 60-cent difference, and that is not typical in the real market. In the real market, on ex-dividend dates, the typical difference is more in the area of 10 cents. So, and sometimes less, sometimes only 2 or 3 cents. So this kind of early exercise for dividends is typically within the realm of professional traders.
Okay, because if you're talking a difference of 2 to 3 cents or 10 cents and you start talking commissions, it may not be worth it?
Well, probably not to buy the stock and exercise it for the dividend. However, if you're an individual investor who bought a call option and is expecting to exercise the call to buy the stock, then if you approach a dividend and you feel very confident that you're going to want to buy the stock in 2 weeks or 3 weeks at expiration, then you might as well exercise today and get the dividend as not exercise, not get the dividend, but still buy the stock in 2 or 3 weeks.
Crystal clear. Great example. Makes a lot of sense. Darren, before we wrap up, anything you'd like to add?
Well, a lot of what Jim has already indicated or referenced, I would just like to kind of build on that. But certainly the dividends, from an options writer's perspective, it's important to understand when you might get assigned and understand that if these dividends are forthcoming, that it might mean that there'll be an assignment coming here soon as well if you're short the option. And typically it's more likely for larger dividends, you know, a nickel or a penny, probably not so likely a 30, 40, 50 cent dividend that's close to expiration. You're probably more likely to get called away if you're maybe in a cover call situation. We talk to investors that like to invest in dividend paying stocks, and they also like to write cover calls. So it's important to understand when you may get assigned on those particular options. And just on another note, too, all of the factors that we've touched on, one thing is early assignment of put options tends to be a little more likely than early assignment of call option, because with the case of a put exercise, I'm getting the cash that I can turn around and invest, whereas with a call exercise in the subsequent assignment, when I exercise the call, I'm going to have to pay the strike price. So I'm a little less likely to exercise my call early than I am the put early.
Well, that's another, you know, darn important point. I'd like to take this conversation into the area of strategies involving American and European style options. Would you guys be willing to come back next week to talk about that?
Will do.
Yes, absolutely. Be glad to come back.
Great. Well, I hope you will join us again next week when we talk about strategies related to American and European style options. If you have any feedback on the show, we'd love to hear your comments. So email us at options@theocc.com. If you have any options-related questions, check out our website at www.optionseducation.org or call our help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS. And don't forget the social links we provided at the beginning of our show. You can join us at LinkedIn, you can become a fan on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. I hope you will join us for part two of this segment next week. Thanks for listening, and remember, a little options education goes a long way.